Well, let's turn to Psalm 132. We have read that before, but tonight we're going to read it again. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. The building of the temple by David and Solomon. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, remember David, Psalm 132. Let's read it together, 1 to 5. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Amen, amen. O Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, amen. How he swore to the Lord, oh Lord, and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Amen. I wonder if you have ever made a vow to the Lord. Yes? No? Amen? Really? Now you have to tell me what was your vow to him. What was your vow? Of course, all of you were married. You made a vow, right? The day of your wedding, you made a vow. What was the vow of the wedding? Till death do us part. Yeah, of course, many people broke that vow. But what about between you and the Lord? Have you made a vow to him? Now, according to the Bible, there is a vow of the Nazarite. And there is also a voluntary offering, the vow that you would like to make to God. Right? Now, have you ever made a vow to the Lord? No, you didn't. Well, I can't force you to make a vow. You know, a vow is something that you make, what? Voluntarily, right? Can anybody force you to make a vow? No. And even if somebody did, that vow is invalid. A vow is made by someone voluntarily. Right, George? Did somebody force you to make that vow some years ago in a wedding day? Somebody put a pistol right here, made a vow or else. No, you didn't, right? When he told you to do that to him? No, you didn't. No, I don't think you would. But David made a vow to the Lord. And we all need to make such a vow. I made a vow to him. Really. I'm not joking. The Lord knew. I made a vow to the Lord to give every drop of my blood for his building work in Europe. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I still have some blood left. Yes, I told the Lord, I want to give my whole life to you for your building work. that was a vow. So I have no choice today. Shirley, sorry, no cruise for me. Right, why not? Well, because our time, our energy, our strength is for God's building. And God's building work is not done yet. As we have seen from Adam to Noah to Moses to David, praise the Lord. Concerning God's building work, God needs certain kind of people. Certain kind of people to complete His work. And there are not too many of them, unfortunately. Suppose Moses was not willing. Well, but God knew before the foundation of the world that there's going to be a person whose name is Moses at a certain time, and he will be willing. Right. So you have to realize again tonight how important it is to be such a person. A person who is willing to give his all for God's building. For God's purpose. And David is a very special person. Even while he was young, as he was a shepherd, right? What do you think? What kind of a person was he? A coward? When a wolf comes, or a lion would come, what would he do? Run away? He would protect the sheep. And he would even, my goodness, he fought the lion, right? Or a bear, or... Right. What about Goliath? What would you do if you see a giant, a big problem? God, that Goliath. What would you do when you see Goliath? You know, during the time of David, when Saul was king, and they were fighting against the Philistine, and there was a giant there. His name was Goliath. What would you do if you see Goliath? Everybody said, hopeless, right? Nobody thought, well... I don't think I could face him. What about you? What do you think, George?
Call my brother.
Oh, which brother? Wrong brother. Call the wrong brother. No. You call the wrong brother. You know who our brother is? The Lord Jesus. He is our brother. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the big brother. He is our brother. We all need to call on him. But you know, at a time when everybody ran away and just couldn't face Goliath, who was the one who faced him? Praise the Lord. David. He was not afraid. Because when he was young, the Lord already trained him. The Lord already trained him to face different perils, and danger, and fears, animals. And he experienced that the Lord was with him. It was not that David was a strong boy. No, he wasn't very strong. But he experienced God was with him. That is why David could write such a psalm in 122. From whence, where does our help come from? He said, our help comes from the God who created the heavens and the earth. Why, what a wonderful God, a God who created the heavens and the earth. Must be quite a God, eh? Have you ever considered the heavens and the earth? How big, how great, how marvelous. And everything was made by Him. Do you think He could help you or not? Of course He could. What a wonderful God. So, the Lord had prepared such a man, a courageous man. He was courageous because he knew God. He trusted in the living God. You know, for a building of God's house, you have to be not only faithful, but also courageous. Because there are so many problems. Moses was also a courageous man. And every time there was a problem, what did he do? He turned to God. He turned to God. How wonderful. Right. He turned to the living God. So the Lord has prepared such a man to do such a job. Praise the Lord. And David, as the king of Israelites, of Israel, he defeated all of God's enemies. All the surrounding enemies of Israel, David conquered them. Oh, wonderful. You know, in building up the church life today, don't expect there won't be any problem. Many years ago, when I was young, your age, I thought, wow, wonderful. Now that we have seen the vision of the church, let's go, let's do the building work. I didn't expect much problem. And I thought, certainly, well, the Lord is going to conquer everything. He is God, right? After all, He's the victor. Christ is victor. As we were in the process of building, we encountered so much problem. Problems from religion, from many Christian groups, from the state church, even from the political group there, the political parties, even in Stuttgart, they were against us. You know, when we tried to buy a property to build a meeting hall, every time they found out that we were going to buy it, immediately they stopped us. They went to that owner and prohibited them to sell it to us, and they helped that owner to find a buyer so that we cannot buy the property. So, goodness sake, we couldn't get any property for many years there. Because people were just the state church, together with the political party, they joined hand to stop us. Just like the time of the Lord Jesus. So what are you going to do? Give up? You're going to give up? No, you don't give up. Even right in the very beginning, when we were starting the building there, one of the Christian workers told me, "You're still small, we'll just leave you alone. But if your work becomes great, I will do all I can to destroy you." Have you heard somebody saying like that to you? No. I looked at the person and said, "That is a bit stupid. If you want to destroy us, you destroy us now while we are small. Why would you wait until we are big and strong and you do with all your might you're going to destroy us?" I said, "That's not very wise." But I wasn't concerned. Because I knew if this building is the work of God, hey, come and try it. Did not Peter say, if there's a stumbling block, our Lord is a wonderful stone. And if you stumble upon it, you're going to break your bones. And if that stone would come upon you, it'll grind you to powder. Eh? How about that? So try and come to destroy the church. I welcome you. I even invite you to come and do it. But if the church can be destroyed, then it should be destroyed. But if it's something built by God, oh, well, please, come and try. I don't think you can destroy anything built by the living God. Right. So, do not expect that when we are going to build God's house, that everything is going to go so smoothly. No. There are so many enemies. Israel was surrounded by so many nations there, the enemies. But praise the Lord, David subdued all of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Well, look at our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. He did say, I will build my church. Did he have a good time? An easy time when he was on this earth? Well, everybody was against him. From the top to the small people there, they were all against him. Who was not against him? They even tried to get rid of him, to kill him, and all of that. But praise the Lord was firm. Even his own disciples told him, oh Lord, don't go to Jerusalem. But the Lord, he went to Jerusalem directly. His face was as hard as stone, facing Jerusalem. And he just went there to fulfill God's purpose. Hey, what a man. What a man. A man who knew what God wants, or God wanted at that time. And a man who has given himself to do what God wanted him to do. Right? Throughout so many years, I have seen a lot of people that say, hallelujah, I am for Christ and the church. But after a few years, I don't see them anymore. I don't know where they landed. I don't know where they ended up. Where were they? Right. Praise the Lord. And such a man like David, he made a vow, praise the Lord. I'm not forcing you to make any vows. But what I'm telling you is, here is a man like David who made a vow to the Lord. I will not go to my own house, nor give slumber to my eyelids, nor get up to the comfort of my bed, until I find a place for the mighty God of Jacob. Oh, what a vow. I wish we all would make such a vow. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what would be a better vow than that? Praise the Lord. May the Lord make us like David. Doesn't mean that David will not make any mistakes. Doesn't mean that he is a perfect person. But you know, one thing so great about David is that when he made a mistake, he was willing to repent, admit and his repentance was so thorough. Even his repentance became a great help to all of us. Quite different than Saul. At first, Saul said, I didn't do anything wrong. I did what God told me to do. So Samuel says, no, you didn't. What is that I'm hearing there? And who is that you spared? Agag. And what about those sheep and all these things there? What are these? It was already very clear that he should have said, oh, Samuel, sorry, I really was wrong. But Samuel didn't say that. What did he say? Saul didn't say that. What did Saul say? I kept the best to offer up to God. Isn't that good? Terrible. I didn't save those fatted sheep and cattle for myself. It's so that we can offer sacrifice to God. Isn't that good? Then Samuel spoke a very serious word to him. Rebellion is like what? Witchcraft. And God doesn't care for sacrifice more than obedience. What is more important for God? Your obedience or just bring all those sacrifices to him? What do you think God desires? God desires obedience. Learn obedience. Then finally Saul, what did he do? He confessed. The real reason why he did that is because he was afraid of the people. That was the real reason. Why is it in the past 40-some years we see people just going after certain things and even covering up all the mistakes and uplifting certain people? Why? What is the reason behind it all? They're afraid. But you are not afraid of God, you're afraid of man. That is not wise. That's not very good. What can man do to you? Man can do nothing to you. You should learn not to be afraid of men, but to be afraid of God. So what happened? Saul lost the kingdom. He lost the throne. He lost the kingdom. And God chose David, a man according to his heart's desire. A man who is after his own heart. Who is one with God. Amen. What a wonderful person. A man who knew God's heart. Can you imagine over close to 500 years nobody cared about looking for the place Jerusalem? Right. Nobody cared about building up the temple of the living God. Nobody cared for it. For such a long time, everybody was for themselves. But until the time of David, praise God for this wonderful David. And today we all need to be like David, a corporate David. not only knowing what God's purpose is, but then you have to be courageous to give yourself to fight the battle. That's why the Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against her. That means, well, in building up the church, the whole gates of hell is going to rise up against you. How about that? Do you like that? Are you afraid?
No.
You mean to say you're such a courageous man? No. Then why aren't you afraid? Yes, not only trusting God, because you know that the one who is going to build the church, Christ, is the victorious one who went through all the problems and went through death. He even went to the grave and he rose again and he ascended and sitting today on the throne on the right hand of God, the Father. And everything is under his feet, all the enemies, including the government and principalities and powers, including all the political parties, including Obama. Everything is under his feet. How about that? Are you afraid? Afraid of what? Afraid of demons? Are you afraid of demons? Afraid of the devil? Who is afraid of demons? Oh, let me tell you, the demons are afraid of us. You think the Lord was afraid of the demons? Oh, it's written all over, the demons are afraid of the Lord. Wherever the Lord went, they all ran away. What about us? Wherever we go, you think the demons will stay there? I don't think so. No. There's no space for both of us. Either I stay and he goes, or he stays and I go. That's it. Right. Wherever the church is, they have to flee. Because we are here to take over. You think that's a joke? So today, we should not just be for doctrines, talking about the building and standing on the ground. You think all the enemies will be afraid of your doctrine? I don't think so. I don't believe so. But we have to be that kind of people. Praise the Lord for God's building. It is a real battle. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the builded church. We have to experience this. We have to experience it. And that's why, don't be afraid. Right? We are the troubleshooters. Not the troublemakers. Don't be a troublemaker, but be a troubleshooter. Shoot at trouble. Sharpshooter. Pow! Shoot at trouble. Right. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, amen. Christ is victorious. Look at Paul. You think Paul was a coward? Paul was a person given. He also made a vow to the Lord. His whole life was given for God's building. People told him, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't you know they're going to kill you if you go there? And everybody was weeping and telling him, Paul, please don't go. Paul says, what's wrong with you? I'm not only willing to go, I'm willing to give my life. for God's purpose. Paul didn't say, oh, I sympathize with you, I know, but he says, what are you doing? Right. To give your life for God's purpose. It's no good if you're just doing a work for him. No. God wants you to give your life to him. In order to fulfill God's purpose, such people are necessary. Look at all the apostles. Every one of them a martyr. Because they have given their lives for God's purpose. Right. So today, although nobody's going to kill you, so what are you afraid of? So may the Lord really stir up our spirit to give ourselves to the most wonderful purpose in this universe. This is the most wonderful, most meaningful, the most glorious purpose in this universe. This is the only thing that will last. Hebrews 12 said, once again, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and everything that will be shaken will collapse, will be shaken. But we have received a kingdom that is unshakable. This is the only thing that's going to last. Zion. The tabernacle was good, but it was temporary. It is like a mobile home. You know, a mobile home. You can drive around the wilderness for 40 years. So, you know, God drove around for 40 years. It's mobile. It's mobile. Can you imagine in the last 2,000 years God is going around? With one group of people, and then they got stuck, they won't go home, God would have to go on, move on with another group of people, and then these people would stop and would not go on, then God will have to find another group of people, and then he is moving on, and then those people became stale and old and full of wrinkle and finally became a tradition and wouldn't go on. The Lord would have to move on and all the time going around like the tabernacle in the wilderness for 40 years. I hope that now we're building something that is solid. Just like the temple now in Jerusalem, it's immovable. You cannot move that temple anymore, okay? Can't move it. It is a solid temple. Very solid. Much bigger. More glorious. More difficult to build. The tabernacle was easy. But the temple, it took how many years? About 13 years for Solomon to build that temple. How many years? Let's take a look. Huh? No. Not 40 years. First King chapter 6, 7. Chapter 6 or 7. No. I'm sorry. 40 some years. That's right. 13 years to build his own house. I'm sorry. Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. So he finished all his house. But he also built, etc., the house of the forest, etc., right? In chapter 7. Yeah, it definitely take longer than that. Sorry. Right?
26 years? How many years?
Well, this is the one in John when the Lord says, you destroy this temple and I will build it up in 3 days. And then the Jews says,
46 years. Right. This is a temple of Herod. Yes. But a temple in Solomon is not 46 years. Huh? 7 years?
Chapter 6,
verse 38. Let us take a look. In the fourth year, the foundation of the Lord's house was laid in the month of Ziv. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished in all its details and according to all its plan. So it was 7 years in building it. Yep, you're right. Thank you, Naomi. Not 13 years, but 7 years. Correct. It was 7 years, not 13. I made a mistake. 13 years was for the building of Solomon's house. Oh, my goodness. That's not very good. That means he probably built a house that's more beautiful. That is not good. That's not good at all. All right. But it was 7 years. But this was a 7 intensive years. Praise the Lord. Right? So, today we must build something that is solid. Something that will last. You can really see the progression of God's building from Eve to the ark and then to the tabernacle and then now to the temple. Praise the Lord. Today we are really building this temple. And you have to give yourself. You have to give yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let us consider the outline. It's a simple outline because we cannot go into the details. I hope maybe we can have a conference concerning the details of this building. I think we should do that. David, a man after God's heart, being a type of Christ. Christ is the real David. If you read all these verses, you will see that Christ is the real David. Right. A wonderful king. Right. And he needs this temple. Because the temple is not only a place of worship, but a temple is a place for the Lord to rule over the nations. So the city of the living God, Zion, today is more than just a place of worship, but it is really the kingdom. The church is a kingdom where the Lord is the king. So don't underestimate the matter of the church. The church is too great, too important, too wonderful. The Lord is a king and he is going to rule there. So when we go to the building of the millennial temple here in Ezekiel, you will really see that it is not only a temple, it is really the place where the Lord is going to rule and his throne is there. He is going to rule over the nations, the whole earth, through that temple. So today, the church is an amazing place. Remember what the Lord told Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be what has been bound in heaven. What a wonderful thing it is. The church has such an authority. It represents God's kingdom on this earth today. So don't think that a church is just a place where, well, you know, we have a good time and singing and enjoying and... No, the church is much greater than that. That is why you all need to give yourself and tell the Lord, Lord, finish it with us. We're going to finish this work. Don't you have such a desire to finish the work? And it's worthwhile to give yourself. Praise the Lord. Right? And then, we need Solomon. Praise the Lord for Solomon. What I mean is, Solomon, at a time when he was okay, that was Solomon. Because there was a time, especially at the end, Solomon was not okay. At the end, Solomon didn't have a very good end. Okay. But the positive side of Solomon definitely is also a type of Christ, because the Lord said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon is known for what? For wisdom. You have to believe, Charles, in order to build up the church, we need a lot of wisdom. And not human wisdom. We need wisdom from above. Our human wisdom is not good for God's house. Not enough for building God's house. You need a divine wisdom. That's why James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Father, who would give liberally to all those who ask with faith. Not wavering. And James says this kind of wisdom is the wisdom from above. Not wisdom from below. Not earthly wisdom. He even said earthly wisdom is human wisdom. It is also what? Demonic. Don't think your wisdom is very good. It's good enough, maybe... to build up apple or build up orange and bananas, whatever you call your company, Banana Republic or Apple Company or Durian or whatever you can call your company, that's built by human wisdom with the help not of the divine power, but with the help of some other strange power. Don't think that we are so wise. I have seen quite a few young people in the churches. Oh, they think they are so wise. They know what to do. And we should do it this way. And we should do it that way with the young people. Let's find a puppet show. Or let's do this kind of thing. With a children's meeting, and where did that wisdom come from? In order to get all the young people together, let us organize a ski fellowship. The ski fellowship. You know what skiing is? You go up to the mountain, you go down so quick. So as you're going down, sliding down, your spiritual condition is sliding down with it. And at the end, you will be down the valley, including your spiritual condition. Don't believe that. I have seen that too. What kind of wisdom is that? You think that wisdom is from above? In order to build God's house, we need the wisdom from above. We need the real Solomon, the heavenly Solomon, Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon. He's the greater Solomon. He's the real Solomon today. Don't try to build the church with your bright ideas. I should say with your dark ideas. It's not very bright. Sorry to say. My ideas are dark. How about yours?
Same.
Maybe darker. Or maybe mine are darker. Not the same. Yours is a little bit brighter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're right. It doesn't matter. We like to use the word bright ideas. Do you have any bright ideas? For the building up of God's house, you only have dark ideas. I have seen in the past years, wow, so many human movement, bright ideas. Let's do it this way, let's do it that way, and let's experiment. You think God needs you to do experiment? He doesn't know whether it works or not? I don't think that our God has a laboratory to do experiments to see if it works. Do you think God needs experiment to see if it works? Of course not. But we like to try this, we try that to see if it works. Well, let's try this and let's try that. I have seen so many ways in the past 40 years and none of them works. Because these are man's dark ideas. You trust in my ideas? No, we don't need man's ideas. We have a wonderful, greater Solomon today. And Solomon, my son, said David, he will build God's house because God has chosen him to build God's house. Colossians, Paul says, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Him, in Christ. Haven't you read? You haven't read? Oh, take a look at Colossians chapter 2. My goodness, oh Lord. My dear brother. Dear brother. Ay, 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 ay. You don't remember reading it. Verse 3. We should know the mystery of God and of Christ. Oh, which is Christ. The better translation is, and to know, and to the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You're going to remember that? Definitely. That's good. All of you have to remember that. In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. Anytime you need wisdom, go to Him. Anytime you need knowledge, especially concerning the services, concerning what to do, what should we do with the children, what to do with the young people, how to lead the young people on, who knows best? Christ knows best. Right. Nobody knows better than Him. Then why don't you go to Him? In this wonderful Christ is hidden all the wisdom, the treasures of wisdom. Look at this universe, how much wisdom it takes to build this universe. Can you build the universe? Can you build an ant? Ask all the scientists whether they can build an ant. You need more than Harvard's wisdom. All of the brain in Harvard together cannot create an ant. Right? So what kind of wisdom are you learning there? That wisdom is only good for earthly things. It's definitely not good enough for heavenly things. It's not good enough to build up the living church. Because the church is full of life. Amen. Just like that little ant. It runs and it can carry stuff much heavier, many, many times heavier than that ant, that little ant. Don't underestimate that little ant. And who had wisdom to create such a little moving thing like that? What wisdom? You want to build a church? You don't need that kind of wisdom. What are you going to do? Find a human way, a method? The best that man can do is to build Roman Catholicism. That's it. And Vatican one day is going to be burned down. The book of Revelation tells us that. It's going to be burned down. And when it burns down, heaven and earth will all cry out, hallelujah. So, how are you going to build up the church in Vancouver? Ah, that's right. Don't say, I'll call my brother. I don't have that wisdom. I don't have it. But He has it. Amen. Let's all learn to go to Him. Read to Him. Read to Him. Lord, it's written in Colossians chapter 2 verse. He forgot.
It's verse 3.
Not 2. Don't trust what people says next to you. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? What for? To give you a nice message? To show you how much He knows? No. And don't think the Lord is going to show you all the wonderful treasures for nothing. He is not like human being boasting and showing you all the wonderful treasures. No, it's hidden. It's hidden. God doesn't display it. So don't display everything that you have. Just display whatever is needed. For a church life, what to do, how to have a meeting, how to share God's word, the ministry of the word. Don't use your wisdom. Your wisdom will destroy it. Will not help anybody. Not only it will not help anybody, it's going to ruin the saints' taste of life. You have to learn. Don't make a joke of God's word. Did the Lord ever tell a joke? Right. So we all need to learn to get the wisdom from Him. Tell Him, Lord, give me wisdom to carry out your purpose, to serve you and to serve God properly, that it'll be well pleasing to Him. Give me wisdom to understand the exact meaning of what you're saying in the Bible. Show me what is hidden in God's heart. I want to know how to help a person. Don't just go and try to be a psychologist to help a person. A counselor, a marriage counselor, my goodness. You can't even take care of your own marriage. You're going to be a marriage counselor. How many marriage counselor has a good marriage? You better find out first. Right. So, you have to know him as our Solomon today. Praise the Lord. That's why God chose Solomon. And you all knew that when he was young, God appeared to him and gave him a wish. Solomon, what do you wish for? Suppose the Lord would ask you, young sister, what do you desire to have? What would you ask for? Let me see. iPad 2. iPad 2. iPad 4 now?
Yeah.
Okay. You want an iPad 4? What did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. Wisdom. Because wisdom, especially the heavenly wisdom, is more precious than any other thing. That's why you have the Proverbs telling you to love wisdom more than anything else. So, for the building of God's house, to help the saints, to deal with so many problems, to deal with the enemies, to take care of so many aspects in God's house, you need wisdom. Without his wisdom, what can you do? There's not much you can do. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicle, or 1 Chronicle, I'm sorry. Chapter 28. Here in the outline it tells us, right. Although Solomon has so much wisdom, and he asked for wisdom, yet you have to realize that everything and all the pattern concerning God's building, it was given by the Holy Spirit to David. Right. Yeah. So, we have right here, beginning in verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Don't say, I can't do it. You know, it's good to be humble. I appreciate humility. But don't be so humble to say, Lord, I cannot do it. Oh, Lord, I'm weak. The Lord tells you to pray. Oh, Lord, I cannot. The Lord tells you to do what? To serve. Oh, Lord, I don't have the strength. And the Lord tell you, come to the meeting. Oh, Lord, I'm not feeling well. And the Lord telling you, do this. Lord, I cannot do it. I heard so many people. I seldom heard the saints saying, praise the Lord, I can. Amen, I'll do it. I always heard, I'm too weak. Oh, I cannot. Oh, I have to trust in him. I just cannot. You know, it sounds very spiritual. But it's painful to my ears. Because that is not a word of faith. God has given us a precious faith, a living faith. Paul never says, I cannot. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Why can't you? Don't you have a life? Isn't the Spirit with you? Did not the Lord give you the Holy Spirit? With measure? Without measure, are you sure? Yes, without measure. And you can ask for it even more if you want to. Is He with you? Yes. What else do you need? Strength? Is He your strength? Yes. Wisdom? Do you need wisdom? Is He your wisdom? Yes. So, can you do it?
He's all in all.
I didn't ask whether He's all in all or not. I'm asking you whether you can do it or not. With all of this wonderful provision of the Lord, and you still say, Lord, I'm so weak, I cannot do it. You know, it sounds very spiritual. But it just sounds very spiritual. It is not spiritual at all to say such a thing. You have to learn to say, Amen. I have the spirit of faith.
Amen.
Faith in you will say, I can. Not because you're so confident in yourself, but because you know the living God. When David faced Goliath, did he face Goliath like this? Oh, I cannot, but I'll try. I cannot. I'll try. I don't think so. But he was full of faith. He even mocked Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised thing? You think he had confidence in himself? No. But he was full of faith. He had confidence in the living God.
Amen.
So what do you prefer? I cannot. Oh, I cannot. It sounds very humble. I don't want to be that humble. I'm not proud either. But I like to boast in my God. He is able.
Amen.
Did not Paul say, my God is able to do above all that you also think? Even super abundantly above.
Amen.
What other superlative adjectives is going to use? There's nothing more super than super. That is faith. We have the living faith. So praise the Lord. May the Lord really strengthen all of us.
Yeah.
Right. And then it says, you be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. You know, at that time Solomon is quite young. David is old. You know, I know quite a few old people who don't trust in the young people. I don't think he can do it. I don't think he can do it. And this sister, I don't think she can do it either. Mo, no experience. And my goodness, at the end, only I can do it. And I'm going to do all of it, and I am the only one who can do it. Won't it be a glory if even our young brother can do it? How old are you?
22.
22. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Yes. Why are you so proud?
No.
No. No. Then why do you say you can do it? Through Christ who strengthens me. That's it. Solomon was young, but David had a faith. Why? Because God chose Solomon. For the building, we need a younger generation to rise up. Not just old folks building there, all the old folks building. All the old folks building. You know, all the old folks, if you see all the cardinals there, you know, all the cardinals, old folks. We need a young generation to rise up before God's building. We will have no future if there's no young people, no next generation rising up who sees God's purpose, who gave themselves for God's purpose, who would be willing to make a vow, who would give their youth not to be a waste to enjoy this world, but to give the strength of their youth for God's divine purpose. Praise the Lord. This is what we need today. A young Solomon. You have to see something here. Because if we don't see this, then we have no future. Be strong and do it. Amen. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and a place of the mercy seats, and the plans of all that he had by the Spirit. That's chapter 28. You read. There's so many verses here that you read here to see the plans by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of the service in the house of the Lord. And then David collected, much gold for God's house. He gave gold by weight, not by ounces only, by kilos. Gold by weight, for the things of gold, for all the articles used in every kind of service. My, the articles used in every kind of service are made of gold. Golden. What kind of articles do you use to serve God? Plastic.
Cardboard.
Paper plates. Silver. For all articles of silver by weight. For all articles used in every kind of service. The weight for the lampstands of gold, my. That was even without measure there. And the lamps of gold by weight for each lampstand and its lamps. The lampstands of silver by weight. This is why I said, are you gaining some gold? How much gold do we need to build up the church life today? How much silver do we have? You know, when I see many of the situations there, I failed again. No salvation here. Oh, I need to be saved. And, I have this problem. And I need salvation again. And this. And then, and some of the problems cannot be solved. Where is the silver? How much silver do we have in the church life here? How much silver do you have?
Not enough.
What do you mean, not enough?
I don't know how much I have.
You don't know. That means you maybe just a few ounces. Because you don't know. So you cannot tell me. How much salvation from your flesh, from yourself, from your ego, from your soul life, and your mind, how much salvation have you experienced of the Lord? Yeah, you can weigh the silver that you have. David collected, gathered so much gold and so much silver and so much bronze. And by weight he gave gold for the table of the showbread, etc. Refined gold. Wow, you can read it for yourself. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of his plan. The Lord made him to understand. Because these are heavenly things. If the Lord doesn't show you, how are you going to know? So many times we take things for granted. Spend time with the Lord. Ask him. Tell him, Lord, as you have shown David, so show me all the plans. What to do in the church life. When you're making an arrangement, even for cleaning, ask the Lord. Don't just say, okay, we'll clean the toilet. Okay, we'll clean the toilet. Well, why don't you clean the toilet? Right. Save the toilet for yourself. Praise the Lord. That would be perhaps the Lord's plan. Ask the Lord for everything that we do in a church life. Tell the Lord, give me your wisdom. Let your hands be upon me. Show me by the Holy Spirit. We need all these. And David said to his son again, be strong and do it. So many things. Chapter 29, my. 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. Wow. Too much, too wonderful. Oh, it's 9 o'clock again. And even where to build it, the Lord showed Solomon very clearly. To build it upon Mount Zion. Now one thing I'd like to show you, which is very important. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 6. I think it's good for us to know. In 1 Kings chapter 6, when the building work started. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Which verse do I want to use here? Verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. I think it's a good verse for all of us to know tonight. Let's read it together. And the temple, when it was being built, was was built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tools was heard in the temple while it was being built. How about that? You know, when I was in a hotel this time in Singapore, they are doing renovation work. Oh, boy. From morning clock to afternoon, 5 o'clock, you cannot have fellowship. You cannot have fellowship. When brothers come to me to have fellowship, we have to go somewhere else to have fellowship. Because it was so loud. Bang, 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 boom. All kinds of noise were there. Don't bring your hammer into the church life. Or your chisel. And you're going to hammer the saints there. Bang! How about that, Mo? Do you bring your hammer into the church and chisel? Are you sure? Are you sure? Can you imagine I bring the chisel in a meeting and chipped your ears off? I said, your ear is sticking out too much, brother. Chisel off. You're too tall. I'm going to cut off your head and bring it so. You know, so many years ago, I heard that building, this is what I heard when I was a younger brother, we are going to be built together. Wow. So here, I'm going to use my brother as an example. We're going to be built up together, so we're banging on each other first until we finally smooth out with each other. So we come to the building. We are going to be built together, right? So I'm going to rub on him and he rubs on me and then finally we will fit together. That's not what he says here. What happened? My goodness, at the end I saw that everything fell apart. At that time I thought, how can that be building? How come the building always fell apart? Something must not be right. You know, yes, we all need to be cut. That's right. Because if you want to build, you know, in building a building is big stones. But you don't cut the stones in the building site. At least not for the temple. You cut the stone at the quarry, at a place where you get the stone. What does it mean to us? For the Lord to deal with you and me, it's not in a meeting. It's not in the church life when we're together. It has to be daily, in your daily life. The Lord has already have to trim you. If I come to the meeting and I see, I don't fit here. I don't try to cut you or cut me. You're trying to cut me and then I try to cut you and I try to chop off his head and his feet too long and chop off his head. We'll be rubbing off one another and we thought that was building. That was not building. That is hurting one another. If I see that I don't fit here, I go home and tell the Lord, Lord, deal with me. Amen. In my daily living, in my family life, when I'm alone there, I pray, Lord, make me fit. You do the cutting, Lord. Because He is the one who can really cut you. Don't let anybody just open you up and cut you unless he's an expert surgeon. If I need to be cut, I won't go to you. Maybe I'll go to him. I don't know. He's not a surgeon either. If I need to be cut, I'll go to an expert, good, well-known, experienced surgeon. And who is the one that can really trim you to make you fit into the body? Did not Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that God is the one who makes us to fit in the body, each one? Don't bring your hammer there and a chisel and iron tool and try to work on a brother so that he will fit. Don't do that. You bring it to the Lord. Let the Lord trim you in your daily life. And the trimming may take 2 months, may take 2 years to make you really fit. You cannot force it. Because you're a living stone. Peter says we're all living stone. You know, the dead stone, they don't run and they don't feel anything. You can hammer as hard as you like, but you are a living stone. And you can say, "Ow!" and you can run away. you can tell the Lord, "Lord, stop, stop. I can't take it anymore." The Lord will say, "Okay. Let's continue whenever you're ready." That's why it takes time to build up this wonderful building in the New Testament church. In the church life, leave your hammer at home. Leave your chisel at home. Don't bring your iron tools. Don't show off your new tools. No. Let the Lord do the cutting. You pray. Let's pray for one another. That also means in a church life, don't fight. There's no need to fight. Did the Lord fight with his disciples? Do you see the Lord fighting with his disciples? He fought with religion, yeah. Right. But you never see the Lord there screaming, shouting, fighting. It says it's even hard to hear his voice in the street. Right. So this is a wonderful building site. In the building of the temple, you don't hear a hammer. That's an amazing building site. I really enjoy this verse, really. So that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Oh, I see arguments and sometimes at a brother's meeting, arguments and fighting and discord and no, you're wrong and rah, rah, rah. Paul told Galatians, don't bite one another, you might, if you fight with one another at the end, biting one another, you're going to swallow up one another. Don't do that. In the church life, no. There's no need for that. There is no need for that. Bring everything to this wonderful builder. Because the Lord says, I will build my church. And you have to know the way he builds his temple. Praise the Lord. Now, we can close this meeting. May the Lord grant us much grace, and may we learn from it.